Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
The Bengals may run out of players this year because they seem to be the one team in the league that maybe didn't show up for their meeting with the officials before the year.
Yeah, they're going to talk
about the head-to-head, yeah, you know, and the helmet and guys getting ejected. Somehow Marvin Lewis, I guess he didn't post that stuff in their locker room because they're as dirty as ever.
Yeah. All right, we get you out of here. Plug your podcast for us.
Well, Tim, we're going to do the beam. Oh, he's going crazy already. He's going crazy already. Hold down, Copper. Down. He ain't doing nothing to you.
The Tony Kornheiser Show is on now.
We're chatter. We're open for breakfast. You may not have gotten the memo. We'd like to get a crowd in here for a variety of reasons. Because we have great breakfast, and I know that Tori's relatives will be in here soon,
yes,
so that makes me happy.
Family.
And maybe
Morton
they
relatives.
Will lead people in like the Pied Piper. That would be good. We're at the corner.
Crispin St. Peter's.
Yes. Right. That's a good song. We should play that at some point. Can I just say where we are?
Please do.
We're in Friendship Heights at the corner of Wisconsin Avenue and Jennifer Street for people who seem to have lost their way. Maybe they took Uber or Lyft and went to the wrong
street. And that's what I was going to say. I believe, unless there's someone I'm not seeing, there's a piece of wall right here. There is literally no one here.
Well, we're here.
Well, right. I just saw somebody walk in.
But so our studio audience is...
And we like to have a studio audience. Yeah. I had a long conversation with the socialite about this last night, about how much I do like to have a studio audience. So I'm sort of begging. I'm telling you also to come in for football. Football tomorrow night.
That's right.
Thursday night, Saturday college games, Sunday pro games, Monday, Sunday night pro game, Monday pro game.
What's with the NFL party pint? That promotion still go? It continues?
Yeah. That continues.
Yeah, so you come, you get your party pint,
those,
and then you get drink
blue
specials.
We have party pints with chatter on
drink
them,
specials
so
during NFL games all
you?
Year.
You get to take it with you and bring it back whenever you want and continue to get discounts. Each time.
Yeah.
So let me get to two things at the open of the show that are a little bit different than I normally would do. Not opening necessarily with heavy-duty sports, but opening with something that I read in the Washington Post last night online and today in the print edition. The Mystics will play tonight. The Mystics are on the verge of elimination in the WNBA Finals. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I care enormously about this, but it would be nice to see them win or stay in the series because they could lose. Do I think that the Mystics are as good as Seattle? No, I don't. And Seattle's the best team in the WNBA, but the Mystics have never been to the finals before, so good for them. It would be nice if they could win a game. I believe they play these games at George Mason. They certainly can't play at George Washington because the scoreboard came crashing down yesterday on the court at the Smith Center.
I have something to say about that a little bit later.
That's your school.
Ahead. Go ahead.
No, talk now if you want, or forever hold your peace.
I'm going downtown.
This is Tori, and Gary is here, and Michael's here, and Nigel's here.
I was going downtown last night. I'm checking different things, and I see something on Twitter about the Jumbotron at GW crashes, right?
Yeah.
So I immediately
Thank God, nobody there.
Text my friend Lori, who's worked at GW for years, and I said, oh, my God, you know, why didn't you tell me the Jumbotron has crashed? And she texts back, well, it didn't really fall. And so text back, and I said, oh, my God, was it pushed? Did it jump? What's the
right.
And then she
a rat
goes,
took it down?
A rat took it down. And she says, no, people are making a big deal of it. They were lowering it, and it just kind of fell a few feet. And then it's on the news last night, and it's on the news this morning. I think there's a cover-up at GW about the Jumbotron.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It did crash, didn't it? I mean, it broke into a billion pieces. Am I right on that?
It was in the Chiron on Channel 4 this morning.
But it sounds like what your friend is saying is they were perhaps lowering it to do some work on it, and in the it wasn't like it just fell from the sky.
Okay.
It would be a little bit different than it's being presented.
Anyway, so the Mystics will play tonight. Is it an 8 o'clock start?
Something like that. Somewhere.
An 8 o'clock start at George Mason. Now, I bring this up because the story in the Washington Post indicated that an Alexandria bar called Glory Days refused to let the family of Natasha Cloud, who was a member of the Mystics, refused to put that game on TV for Natasha Cloud's family, the last game, I guess, Sunday in Seattle.
Oh, my God.
So what I'm saying to you is if you come to Chatter and you want to see this game, we'll put this game on for you. You'll have this game on. We got a lot of television sets, and we got no other football tonight. We got some baseball and stuff like that. But we will, at Chatter, put the game on for you. If I could, if they sold them, and I don't think they do, I'd go get a flag today. I'd go get a Mystics flag, and I'd put it out on the corner of Jennifer in Wisconsin so people could come in. I don't know if that would attract
people. Let's get Ted another title. It's been weeks.
That's what I would do.
That's right.
That's exactly what I would do.
That story, I had not seen is shocking, because Glory Days is one of those places, not unlike Chatter, but even beyond Chatter, has 100 televisions.
Is that what the story said? It was the NFL Sunday.
Yeah, but I'm sure they said, can we watch the Mystics game? And somebody said, oh, yeah, that's not going to happen. You know.
Apparently the manager laughed when they asked to turn the smallest TV in their private viewing section to the game.
That so here's uncool. what I'm saying. We have large TVs. And if you want to watch the Mystics, and you're hearing this long before that game starts, and the Hurricane's not arriving in Washington today.
Nope. Right.
So if you want to come here and watch the Mystics against the Storm, you can do it.
All Mystics all the time. In fact, we're looping some Mystics games from the regular season on right now as we watch this.
So now I want to get to one other thing that I find to be a fantastic promotion. And I wonder how you – I don't know if you've seen this. There have been ads on television in recent days – they show young, attractive women very, very happily having a good time in a variety of locales. And the theme is beyond belief. And they say vacation in Jerusalem and Tel Aviv. I've never seen this before. I love the idea of beyond belief, because what that is saying is, you know, I don't care what your religion is. This is not about that. This is about, these are good places to be. Now, I know that Michael has been in Jerusalem and Tel Aviv. Tori, I believe you've been in Jerusalem and Tel Aviv. Gary, not.
Never.
No. That's a long drive for me, so I'm probably not going to go. What I am
great cities.
Tickled by this whole thing.
Great cities.
Just the way it's advertised. Like, when you first see it, you think, oh, this must be a cruise.
I've seen the commercial. It fits for Tel Aviv, which has that Western, almost like a party city feel to it. Jerusalem, not so much.
Right.
And the first thing that I thought of when I saw that commercial was, careful at the airport. If you look somebody the wrong way, they'll detain you.
Right.
And you have to be very careful as to what your passport says, where you've been. You have to have very specific answers as to where you're going.
I'm going to the party in Tel Aviv.
I have a question.
Tel Aviv has been compared to Miami.
Yes.
It's the Israeli Ibiza.
Yeah. But there's other places in Israel where you could sub it out. You know, beautiful wine countries, beautiful, you know, other places.
This is party. This is 24-hour party. Have you seen these commercials?
And I tend to watch a lot of the same stuff you guys watch. Where is this appearing?
It's a new campaign. I have seen it only in the last week.
I love the line, beyond belief.
It's very clever.
I mean, it works on a lot of levels.
Double entendre. Triple entendre.
There's almost a Vegas-like stick to that.
Yes. What are your impressions of those cities?
Well, I've been to both of them, love them both. Great history, great vibe, great food. Yeah, highly recommend.
So, I've never seen those cities advertised as hot tourist destinations before. Right. Now, I found that intriguing.
What channel was this? You know, Christmas at the Gazebo brought to you by Tel Aviv?
This is on both ESPN and 4 and local NBC.
Just want to make sure you weren't sneaking in some homework watching.
All right, some sports to do. Nats, of course. The Nats have found a new way to be in the World Series.
Struggle, struggle, struggle. That is to reschedule
rain-delayed games into doubleheaders that nobody wants to see because it's still raining. It's still raining. They took two from the Cubs, a better team than them. They took two from the Phillies last night, a better team than them. Juan Soto, here's his doubleheader line, 5-for-8, 2 homers, 4 RBI.
Wow.
This is pretty good. He now has more homers at 19 years old than anybody but Mel Ott or something like that. He's probably going to be rookie of the year, Juan Soto, even though he can't field his position.
He's getting better in left, but they've basically given rookie of the year to Acuña Jr. And so I think he's come back into the mix. I think last night's doubleheader probably pushed him over the edge if he sustains over these
next
3 weeks.
Doing that Philip Rivers thing when the game is over and the season's over and he's just filling up the stat sheet.
So there are two things that happened that are interesting.
Got to within
one is the substitute catcher. Is his name Victor Kaiboom? Bruce Kaiboom?
Spencer Kiboom.
Great
Spencer
name.
Drop the Kaiboom.
Yeah, Spencer Kiboom. Spencer Kiboom spits out a tooth at the plate,
A veneer.
One of his own.
Not somebody else's tooth.
So Dan Colco interviewed him after the game on the field. He cannot string together 5 words.
Kiboom?
Because he lost his...
I think he was just so excited to get his first home run. He was not used to that on-field interview, but I was shocked at how little he had to say in that moment.
Right? Because he did compare himself to Alex Ovechkin, right? Or he said he's a big Caps fan and felt like, because he had no tooth, he felt like a hockey player.
We're not going to be effing suck next year.
No, we're not going to be. So that was interesting to see that. And more important, and something that can only happen after the September call-ups, the Nats last night, put 10 different people and a total of 12 relievers, because two guys went first game, second game. And those relievers allowed only two earned runs in 9 2/3 innings. Now, what doubleheaders do to you is they kill your bullpen. If your starters go five, and Martinez wanted to leave Roark in, and he left him in much too long in the second game. Because Roark was getting pounded in the fifth inning. Like, they got 7 hits in the fifth inning. And you sit there and you're watching and you're screaming, yank the guy. But now today, I assume they play today, and I think they...
7-5.
I think they return for the Cubs makeup game in Washington tomorrow. Effectively, you can only put your relievers in one inning. You just can't go more because you're going to have to use them after that. And you can only do this, Gary, right after September 1st, because your roster's expanded.
Right, you've got more players. But my question would be this. What are you...
What are you trying to accomplish?
Right. That's right. No, you're right. And you're right. I understand that. But, I mean, this is the Nats. If the Nats could play 10 more doubleheaders and sweep them all, they could actually win the division.
Now, I will say this. As someone who has effectively turned my attention away from baseball.
Yes.
Or the Nats, certainly.
All
that has happened since I have done that in the last couple weeks is it just seems like they sweep every doubleheader they play, and yet they remain 7.5 to 8 back at all times.
Because Atlanta wins. Yes, Tori has her hand
up. Nats question. So last night doing show prep, and one of my in-house consultants, who hopefully will drag us happy in here for breakfast at some point.
He'll own the place.
I was saying, okay, take away from the whole season, why did the Nats suck this year? And he gave several reasons, but he thinks losing Jason Worth was a big deal.
In the locker room, it was.
He thought that was a big deal.
It was probably amplified more by the injuries because you needed that leadership in the face of the adversity.
Yes,
Ryan Zimmerman, God bless him, is not a veteran leader. It became left to the logical veteran leader of the everyday players, because Scherzer would be that, but not everyday players don't all trust pitchers no matter what. It becomes Bryce Harper, who is the longest. He's leaving. So you didn't have that guy. And I don't know that they did calculate it, but I agree with that Jason Worth leaving was a big deal. You could see when they honored him the other day, you could see how much the players and the fans and everybody really liked Jason.
And not to pile on, but you wonder if a veteran manager maybe could have bridged that gap.
Yeah, that's
the
a good
other
point.
Thing but the in-house consultants have.
Yeah, to have no Jason Worth combined with a rookie manager.
That's right.
Yeah.
And a whole new coaching staff.
Yeah.
Whole new coaching staff.
Remember when Jason Worth got busted for driving 195 miles?
He served time.
Yes,
in Virginia.
He did.
Five different days in jail in Virginia.
My favorite thing was, though, being the stand-up guy that he was, he actually addressed the issue and answered a couple questions. And they said, did you learn anything from this? And he goes, yeah. He goes, you just got to know what the local rules are. Because where you come from, you can drive 195 miles an hour. I loved it.
All right,
they're sitting at a table. They're not sitting at the bar.
Well, there's tables available.
Because we have tables available today.
Yeah.
I wish we were doing this... You know, I wish it was going out at the same time so that we could...
Yeah, you could say first person in gets a free water.
And by the way, is Kevin coming later?
Yes, I believe
because
he is.
Is Kevin the last person to use my seat?
Yeah.
Because Kevin, I'm old and deaf. Kevin must be the deafest person.
Oh, yeah, he is. Yes,
my God.
Yeah, this thing for cranking up
Pete Townsend levels.
It cannot get any... Like, as soon as you hear it, you go, who sat in this chair?
That's why he speaks so loudly.
I speak loudly too because I'm deaf.
Kevin's a yeller, though.
But that's amazing. All right, so we'll take a break. Steve Sands of the Golf Channel.
Sandsy.
When we return, Sandsy will be with us. I am Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the ZipRecruiter ad. We get two script options. We get script option A and script option B, and I'm told I can use either version. And this is the scripted option.
Yes, I believe this is B.
So they want me to read this verbatim, and I'm happy to do so. You know what's not smart? Job sites that overwhelm you with tons of the wrong resumes. But do you know what is smart? ZipRecruiter.com/Tony. Unlike other job sites, ZipRecruiter doesn't wait for candidates to find you. ZipRecruiter finds them for you. Its powerful matching technology scans thousands of resumes, identifies people with the right skills, education, and experience for your job, and actively invites them to apply, so you get qualified candidates fast. No more sorting through the wrong resumes. Like, let's say you have a job for a beekeeper and you get somebody who's a bartender because they begin with B.
Yeah, don't
that's
want that.
The wrong resume.
Yes.
No more. That's, by the way, that's not written. I just sort of ad-libbed that.
Ooh.
No more sorting to the wrong resumes. No more waiting for the right candidates to apply. It's no wonder that ZipRecruiter is rated number one by employers in the United States. And this rating comes from hiring sites on Trustpilot with over 1,000 reviews. And right now, my listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address. ZipRecruiter.com/Tony. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Tony, and it asked me to spell out Tony. Hmm. I would think spelling out ZipRecruiter would be more effective, but no, I'll spell out Tony, T-O-N-Y. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Tony. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This song is sent to us by Sandy Weintraub
in bright,
Eugene, Oregon, who identifies as slightly older than millennial Subaru-owning Pacific Northwest Little. And I will read this. Attached to two songs from my dear friends Sheldon Lowe and Hadar, or Hadar, H-A-D-A-R, Hadar, or Shalimi, who tour and perform as We Are the Northern Lights, based in New York City. Sheldon and I grew up together in St. Louis, very close to Belle Reve Country Club and not far from the Gateway Arch. He met his wife, Hadar, in college, where Sheldon attended Tufts, and Hadar studied vocal performance at the Berklee School of Music. That's in Boston.
Yes.
That's quite famous. Their new songs off their new EP, Where Your Heart Is, are available on Spotify, in parentheses, the best read, iTunes, and SoundCloud, and this is Where Your Heart Is, which is a lovely tune. Later in the show, we will play Wanna Be In It. So we're devoting ourselves today to We Are the Northern Lights. Steve Sands of the Golf Channel and NBC joins us now. Steve received an interesting text, I believe it was on Saturday, and the text, and I know this because I sent it, was nice tie, because I saw him on TV. Did you enjoy that text?
It's fabulous. Yeah. I appreciate the love, Tony. It was great.
Yeah. I was wondering how long it would take you to get back to me, considering you were actually on the air at the moment that I texted it. But, you know, that's the most fun, texting someone who's actually on the air. Let me start with, I think, the biggest news to come out of the finally concluded tournament at Aronimink. Maybe I'm wrong, but Jordan Spieth, who is widely considered to be the best American golfer, or was considered to be the best American golfer for a few years, Jordan Spieth does not qualify for the final tournament at Eastlake, the Tour Championships, finishes out of the top 30, I guess bumped at least by Keegan Bradley. What are your thoughts on that?
Biggest upset of the year on the PGA Tour. The fact that Jordan Spieth is not in the top 30 at the end of the playoffs going into the Tour Championship, to me, is the biggest upset on the PGA Tour for the entire season. It's pretty remarkable considering where he was at the beginning of the year and at times where he was, towards the middle portion of the year where we thought he was getting his game back in gear, but he didn't perform well. And to me, of all the players who did not qualify, or for even those who did, I guess you could put Tiger in the category of it's amazing that he qualified considering where he was a year ago.
Yeah.
But where Spieth was a year ago, Tony, you would have never, ever have thought that this would be the first time he did not qualify for the Tour Championship. It's remarkable.
Is something wrong with him? When I watch him interviewed, I don't want to use the word disinterested because he answers all the questions pretty directly, but he doesn't seem to be particularly angry. What is your read on him? Because I know you like him. What is your read on him?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's a good kid. I just think he's upset that he's not playing well. Trying to find the missing piece of the puzzle to all the success that he's had from 2014 all the way to last year. Well, he was the defending champion at the Open. He won a major last year, and he hasn't won since. So he hasn't won. Now, that was in July, so you're talking about 14 months ago. And I just think that whenever you talk to him, he's an intense kid, Tony, and I think that the fact that he's not performing up to his standard has kind of seeped into the way he looks on TV. It just looks like, it's not that he's disinterested, he just looks like he's not very happy on the golf course.
Is he in trouble for scheduling? Did he not play the required amount of tournaments? Is he in some jeopardy from the tour?
Yeah, well, without getting too intricate with the way the schedule works, he had to play in 25 events, or else he would have to have played in a new event I cannot imagine that the PGA Tour is going to hold him to that standard. They could, but yeah, he could get fined, which means nothing. I mean, if you fine a guy $20,000 when he's making $50 million a year, it doesn't matter. You would know what that's like, Tony. It's like buying lunch for you or anybody else in that category. But, you know, to fine him $20,000, $25,000 to make him play another event, you know, either way, it's not going to be that big of a deal.
All right, let me get to Tiger because I have a young man here who plays golf and watches a lot of golf. And, Michael, your opinion of Tiger and this East Lake tournament is what?
I think he has a great chance to win. You have a limited field. You see he's coming off a week where he was driving the ball better than I've seen him drive it in about a decade, and he is energized. I think the big thing is going to be how his physical body reacts. We were worried about him in the heat, but I think it'll be a little bit more temperate down there. So I think it's been a successful year, and I wouldn't be surprised if he caps it off with a win.
Steve, what do you think? Tiger does get – he's not threatening like first or second place – but he's on the front page of the leaderboard a lot. He gets closer. What do you think of that?
I think what Michael said is partially right. I think his best opportunity to win is next week at East Lake because he only has to play 29 other guys. My biggest problem with Tiger, and I think we've talked about this before, Tony, on and off your show, whenever he gets close, he makes a bogey somewhere. Whenever he gets close to the lead, he then makes a mistake. When he grabbed the lead at Carnoustie, he had the tee box at 11 on Sunday, he made a double bogey, and he fell back, and he ended up not winning. He got to within one of Brooks Koepka at Belrive in St. Louis at the PGA Championship in August, and then he retreated back with a bogey at the 14th hole. And he did not birdie the par 5 17th, which was a reachable par 5. Those are things that never happened in the past. This past Monday at Aronimink, same exact thing. He was right there, and then he made two bogeys on the back nine in the final round. I think that until he gets to the lead and then performs well in that situation, I think he's a really hard guy to pick as far as getting a win. However, what Michael said is to the point is it's such a limited field, only 30 guys at East Lake next week. That means he only has to beat 29 other players.
Yeah.
He will never have a better chance all season than winning next week at East Lake.
What is the nature of his relationship with the younger players? I was talking about this on PTI, and maybe I'm right and maybe I'm wrong. You can tell me. And it was about the Serena match with Naomi Osaka before the match. And I said, you know, Serena is her idol. She's really thrilled to play Serena. If she doesn't beat Serena, that's okay, because Serena was her idol. And I said, this seems to me the same with Tiger, that you have people like Spieth and Justin Thomas and Dustin Johnson and Brooks Koepka, and they put this guy's picture on the wall, and they'd love to play him, they'd probably love to beat him, but I don't think they'd be sad if they didn't beat him and if he beat them. What is your thought on that?
I saw the segment you're talking about on PGA, and I thought you were 100% correct. It was a great analogy between the two. I remember hearing Naomi talk about Serena before the match, and I remember thinking, geez, is she even going to go out there and try?
Yeah.
Is she going to let her tie Margaret Court at 24 without even giving an effort? And then all that craziness happened. With Tiger, it's interesting, Tony. When he was in his heyday, whether it was Phil Mickelson, David Duval, Vijay Singh, Retief Goosen, Ernie Els, he bludgeoned those guys. You know, he just destroyed their spirit and just crushed them. Now that he is in this part or this stage of his career, you know, and based on what's happened to him off the course, not just with his scandals, but with his injuries and all those things, to me, there's a couple things that are in play here with Tiger and these young guys. First of all, these young guys have never seen him win. They've never been dominated by him. They've never been bludgeoned by him on the golf course. So they're not scared of him.
Right.
When he takes the lead at Carnoustie, like we talked about, not only did he make a double bogey and fall back, well, guess who won? The guy he played with,
yes.
Francesco Molinari. It wasn't like someone else. Brooks Koepka admitted afterwards at the PGA in August that he knew Tiger was one back. He knew that because he felt the roars and heard the roars of the crowd and all the people going crazy. Wasn't scared. Didn't bother him, wasn't intimidated whatsoever. So that's the first part. The young guys aren't intimidated by him because they've never really seen him be great in person, just on television growing up, as you said, with posters on the wall. Mm-hmm. The other thing is that I find the most fascinating, just being around all these guys, they've gotten to know him, Tony, as a person, because he's allowed that. In this comeback, Tiger is a little bit more of a congenial person.
Seems
so
to be.
He has gotten, no question about it. So he's gotten to know Justin Thomas, Jordan Spieth, Brooks Koepka, Rory McIlroy,
DeChambeau,
Ricky Fowler, all these guys. They're not DeChambeau now. Yeah. They're not. He's allowing them into his life where he didn't allow those other guys. So they've gotten to know him as a person and as a competitor, and they're not intimidated by him because they haven't seen the greatness. So that combination to me means whenever they play with him or against him, you know, they're okay that it's Tiger Woods and it's the guy who was on their wall as a kid growing up, and they're not intimidated whatsoever. So that to me, and I also think, Tony, they're better than him. You know, he's a better player than he was obviously a year or two ago, but he is not as good as those guys. And I think that's the reason I still don't think he's going to win. Those guys are just better than him.
He said the other day, I think he said it yesterday, that when the Ryder Cup is over, and by the way, we will talk to you before the Ryder Cup, but when the Ryder Cup is over, he was going to take a long break and he was going to go back to lifting weights. What? Why? Does he think that's going to change his game at this point, lifting weights? He's not going to be Brooks Koepka.
I saw you guys on PTI last night talking about that. I totally agree with you. I think that there are a few things. One is nobody knows his body better than him. He is with the best training staff you could possibly be with. You could make a strong argument that perhaps lifting weights and getting stronger in that regard will not help him. But I can't imagine, Tony, I still defer to the athlete in this. It's great conversation, but you can't tell me that he's not doing his best to perform at his best. So if he leaves Paris and the Ryder Cup in a couple of weeks, and we don't see him until that ridiculous pay-per-view thing on Friday of Thanksgiving with Mickelson,
right,
but the next event we see him is the Hero World Challenge in the Bahamas the week after Thanksgiving, which is his event.
Right.
So that's a couple of months. I can't imagine that he's not going to train to help his golf game, not just make him look better and feel better. I think that it's all about the golf at this point, I would think. And lifting weights doesn't seem like it would be the thing that you would want to do the most.
No.
But you have to trust what he's doing, I think, don't you?
I guess. It just seemed odd to me. It seemed like...
I thought the same thing.
It seemed like something that a 20-year-old would say. You know,
It seemed a little odd. I agree with you. Certainly at this stage, he's going to be 43, Tony, in December. You would think that lifting heavy weights and doing that kind of thing is something that you would do, you know, 20 years before your 43rd birthday. But I don't know.
I would get you out of here on this. How are you feeling about the Redskins?
Come on, baby. I text Gary Braun something that I could not say on your show.
Right.
I thought a couple things. First of all, I think Alex Smith is a better Kirk Cousins.
Yes, he is.
Chris Thompson looked like lightning fast to me. And Jordan Reed is a beast. Other than Gronkowski, he's the best tight end in football when he stays
healthy. For four games before he goes out.
He's a big if. Yeah. He's a big if.
Yeah.
It's a big, big if. I thought the Skins looked very good. Arizona's terrible. So that's not a huge measure.
Well, they get another bad team this week. Indianapolis, not a good team.
Well, how about this? Coming home. The other thing is, I think the karma around the team is better. I just think it just feels a little different. It doesn't feel like as much of a circus act now that the Cousins thing is out of the way. And
right.
Smith seems like a kind of a steady guy. Coming home and playing Indianapolis is a massive game. Going 2-0 in the NFL is enormous. And they might catch a break. Hosting Green Bay in week 3 with Aaron Rodgers might not be able to play.
Yeah.
So who knows, man?
Hopefully they can sell out that Colts. Hopefully they can sell out that Colts game so we can watch it.
Oh, but the blackout rule's not in effect.
I know, but sadly,
we'll get to that later.
You guys are all welcome. You guys are all welcome to get on Eric Kornheiser, come down here to Florida, play a little golf, and we'll watch the game on the Sunday ticket.
Thank you, Steve.
Sunday ticket. We got it. 1 o'clock Sunday.
Talk to you soon. Steve Sands, boys and
all
girls.
All right, guys. Take it easy.
Great pleasure. We will be back. Nigel will do the news when we return. I am Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Tony Kornheiser Show.
Day after day after day, the favorite ad I read, I want to talk to you about Lowe's, my new go-to destination for craftsman products. They have everything I need to help me tackle projects around my home, if I were to do something like that. From mechanics tool sets to tool storage and more, both in-store and online, if I knew how to buy things online. One of the cool and different things you'll find in the Lowe's Craftsman lineup are mechanics tool sets in a gunmetal finish. What's so great about that? The gunmetal chrome finish is corrosion resistant. That means the tools are more durable and long-lasting. And the best part, if you're a stickler about cleaning your tools, it makes them easier to clean. Tori Bryan is here. Is he a do-it-yourself guy around
yes,
the house?
Yes, he is. Quite good at it.
Might you consider buying him?
You know, years ago, I bought him a compound miter saw, and I thought I could never...
I've never heard of that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I can never top that.
Okay, good for you.
Can I point out, Lowe's stock yesterday closing at a 52-week high of $114.18 a share.
It's no coincidence.
Because I'm reading this.
Up approximately 15% since these reads began. Yeah. I'm just saying.
Lowe's carries a 51-piece and an 81-piece mechanics tool set in the gunmetal chrome finish. The set comes with the new industry-leading Craftsman 120-tooth ratchet, which offers extreme accessibility. And when I say extreme, that's because they capitalize it. Extreme accessibility. So let's just say one of your projects happens to be in a really tight space to get to. Then you definitely need to check out the 120-tooth ratchet with a 3-degree arc swing. You don't know what that does? Well, I didn't, but I do now. A 3-degree arc swing means you can loosen or tighten bolts with less movement in those hard-to-reach spots. With its slim head and 3-degree arc swing, you can get into narrow spaces with ease and quickly tighten or loosen any faster. So, Tori, are you ever in the market for a 120-tooth ratchet? Have you been thinking about that lately as a
The most I've ever gone is 115, but I'll try.
Yeah, you could do that. Lowe's and Craftsman are both deeply rooted in heritage and quality. Like their customers, these two brands have a shared passion for hands-on doing. Lowe's and Craftsman make it easy to tackle any auto, A-U-T-O, or DIY, do-it-yourself project on your list. Shop the new home of Craftsman today at Lowe's.com/Tony. Because I'll be there. That's Lowe's.com/Tony.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Tony Kornheiser Show.
We earlier played We Are the Northern Lights, a New York City duo. And we played Where Your Heart Is. This is Wanna Be In It.
Yes.
This is the same group with Sheldon Lowe and Hadar Oshalaimi. I hope I pronounced that correctly. I think there's zero chance I pronounced it correctly. It took me 15 minutes to get Tunga Vailoa yesterday, so
it's a tough one.
This is a difficult one as
Can you
well.
Say it? Anonymous?
Anonymous. anonymous editorial. Anonymous.
Did you see somebody misspelled A pluses this morning?
Oh, they spell it with a B?
They being he. Yes. P-L-U-S-E-S. A pluses.
Yeah. Well, that's a foreign country.
Yeah, it's French.
That's a foreign country. Michael, it comes your time to speak into the microphone when people want to submit their wonderful original music.
If you want to send us some music, please email it to the show by sending it to jingles@tonykornheiser.com.
And we're trying to make some money here, so what are we selling?
I'm hoping that we're going to announce a new fall-inspired Johnny O push in the upcoming weeks.
That would be good. Fantastic. Yeah. That would be good. But we have wine stuff.
We have the official Wine Tyrant Corkscrew and Bottle Stopper.
That's great. People should buy that.
You know what I'd really like? I'd really love a T-shirt with this restaurant's name on it. Are those available?
Chatter T-shirts. They are for only $12.
But just 12 American
just
dollars.
Come here to get them. Yeah, no one does that anymore.
Yes. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for your positivity. A word that I never heard until I was about 66 years old. I didn't think there was a word, positivity. And now everybody uses the word positivity. We have news, and Nigel, I know you want to announce our special guest star for news.
Yes, I'm very excited. We're going to go to the weather desk right now, and Kip Schmiemann is here to give us an update on Hurricane Florence.
Out here on the weather terrace, Tony, and it's a little bit breezy. Yeah, actually, we're not going to even feel this thing.
What?
It's going south. It's taking a southerly route.
Look, he's so disappointed. People are going to die, dude.
I'm very disappointed.
Not us.
I wanted to see some tropical storm force winds.
And we're not getting that?
I don't think so. I'll tell you, that Florence, she is quite the B-I-T-C-H.
Is that right?
She really is. She's out there churning in the Atlantic.
Alexandria will be underwater.
She's heading towards the coast. A lot of people that we know that are fans of the show, like I heard from Blanche and Bob down there on the Virginia coast,
yeah.
they've been asked to evacuate. Right. They want to come up here and spend some time with you.
We're open for business.
I told them you were heading out of town.
No, I'm here.
They want to stay at your house.
No, they can't do that.
Well, that's why I told them you were heading out of town.
They can't stay at the house.
And if you remember, Blanche is the one that made you all that fudge
that
you love so much.
I do. I love it.
But Florence is heading towards the coast, and the latest model run the Euro parks it just off the coast.
Right.
And it churns there for 24 to 36 hours.
Which is destructive.
Which would be devastating for the Carolinas.
Right.
The American
There's
model,
still only two Carolinas, right? There's still just north
there's
and south.
There's north and south.
We may have west. West Carolina, right?
Well, there's Western Carolina University.
And there's
ECU.
Yes.
ECU.
Kevin, that was the deal with
Which,
Houston,
by the way,
though,
they
right?
have, they have a, not abandoned... They've closed a lot of colleges in North Carolina already.
Right. Well,
Elon and East Carolina.
So more important than that, you've got a lot of football games that have been canceled.
That, yeah. more important than life itself is the ability to put a bet down.
Right. That stalling situation, and I'm asking you, not telling you, is what happened in Houston when they had, that's when you end up with 20 inches, 30 inches of rain.
Yeah. Somebody last night said 40 inches of rain in the Carolinas.
Possible.
Now you say that's
some of my colleagues are overestimating the rainfall potential in this one.
That's the Euro.
I would put it in the 30 plus range. That's the
30 plus could get to 40.
Yeah, but technically 40 is encompassed
30
to 30 plus.
Could hit 40, and I wouldn't be wrong. But the American model, Tony, is taking it, and that would be the GFS. For those of you, most of you understand what the American model is,
as opposed to GFY, which we used to say a lot.
That model is taking it off through the Carolinas, hitting it as a Category 3 hurricane, and then turning it southwest.
Right.
Which would keep the worst of the rain and the tropical storm force winds well south of us and really into southern Virginia at that point. And we wouldn't
Which
have
has
to
been
worry.
Declared a disaster zone already by the governor, right? And he's urged a lot of evacuations.
We consulted with a lot of the governors in some of these southern states, our group did, and we urged them to do this very early on. You want to be ahead of a storm like this.
So what about the 19971?
Yeah.
Which is Rehoboth.
So you're going to have some high surf. You're going to have some beach erosion from some of the hurricane, some of the hurricane effects. But again, Rehoboth, Bethany, you're pretty
Ocean
far
City?
North for this.
Yeah.
Ocean City's a little bit further south than Rehoboth and Bethany. If you
miles.
Know that Maryland is just south of Delaware most maps.
I do that.
And so it looks like those beaches, our beaches, if we want to refer to them that way, are going to be spared.
Okay.
Right now.
This
now the
is,
models
your, is this your call? Or is
no,
this...
it's Wednesday, and I told Nigel that I would be much better off coming in here on Thursday.
We're going to be here.
Definitely Friday I'd have the forecast nailed down.
Yeah, but Friday it's going to...
I would have it nailed down on Friday.
And Monday
for sure.
How's the weekend looking?
Here. Much better than it did yesterday, but this is contingent on the track of Florence.
I thought I saw someone on Channel 4 today on NBC.
Mm-hmm. Would that have been our favorite female weather forecaster?
No, on the national. I thought I saw someone say, and I could be wrong, so I don't want to attach a name to this. This person said, tomorrow at this time, 18 hours from now, this will happen. And I thought, what happened to the other six hours?
Right. Oh, it's tomorrow daylight savings, right?
Tomorrow at this time France.
I was confused.
That's weather-aided time.
Yes, I was completely confused.
Kevin, any chance, I know you're not like a FEMA expert, but what are the chances that the government will replicate, and I'm quoting now, the incredible successful efforts regarding the Maria
Kevin
response,
Show podcast?
Which Trump characterized as one of the best jobs that's ever been done with respect to what this is all about.
Tremendous job. It was a tremendous job.
4,000 people died.
Yeah.
That didn't work
A-plusis.
That well. No. All right. So that's good.
So later today, if you want, my podcast will be out.
How's that going?
iTunes and all the way,
Are you still
ways
doing
you
that?
Can get a podcast.
Wow.
It's three episodes in. I know you've listened to all three of them.
Indeed.
And
parts of.
Indeed.
Yes. All three.
Almost.
And
almost
the we'll have another one out today sometime, depending on Nigel's efforts, around noon.
Fantastic.
KevinSheehanShow.com, too, if you want to just listen to it on the website.
Any particular guests that you're
if you think
have?
He's entertaining here, check that out.
So today...
If you want more weather.
John Keim from ESPN will join us. We'll talk some football. And we're going to talk some Maryland situation and what's going on with the Terps and why we haven't heard anything recently with Jeff Ehrman, who covers the Terps, as you know, for 247, or that would be 247sports.com.
I've never heard of that.
Oh, yes, you have.
Yeah,
yeah, you 24/7.
And by the way, some additional guests. Okay. Some additional guests that Kevin forgot to mention. Warren Buffett will be on. Vlad Putin.
No, Buffett
yes.
on Thursday.
Oh, is it Thursday?
Gates on Friday.
Yes,
but actually,
right. yes.
in all seriousness, Mike Shanahan will be my guest on Friday's
show.
That?
Wow.
Yes.
All right. So what?
All right.
Two washed-up guys together.
Thank you, Kevin. Yeah, by the way, I was thinking about this. Famous Florence's for 50, Alex. I can only
Florence
think of
Ballard.
Florence and the Machine.
Florence Ballard. That was
Florence Ballard.
I was thinking Florence
well,
Henderson
Florence
and
from
Florence,
Alice.
Florence
Florence
Nightingale.
From the show Alice.
Florence Ballard.
Florence Ballard.
Original
Supremes.
Supreme.
Yes.
Original Supreme. Best
yes.
voice of the three.
That's why
Florence
I asked the question.
Gino Danelli, Eddie Rigotti.
Yeah. Yes, they're all part of the Supremes. I want to take you back to baseball for a minute. We talked about in the opening segment. Yes, this is actually what we call the news segment.
News proper.
Close the weather door. There you go. On your way. I know you wanted to talk about Barry's Verluga's column about Ryan Zimmerman.
Well, I want to talk about Lovely. Jacob deGrom first. Jacob deGrom did it again. As predicted by me on PTI yesterday, Jacob deGrom allowed three or fewer earned runs for like the 26th straight start, once again reinforcing his credentials with a 1.71 ERA.
Wow.
Wow.
Filthy.
And an 8-9 record. Keith Olbermann believes he's going to win the Cy Young, even though now he's below 500. But Keith Olbermann believes by all the measures
all
out
the
there, he's having the best season. And once again, the Mets lost. And they lost to the Marlins.
Oof.
You know, and so it's all right. But you can Ryan
Worst
Zimmerman.
Beats bad.
There's a Ryan Zimmerman piece by Barry Zwerluga in the Washington Post that I commend to people, in which Ryan Zimmerman sort of wistfully says, it's not going to go on forever, and I'd like to stay. Yeah. You know, I'd like the
drafted
to be
here. Yeah,
he's
I
the original.
So admired how honest he was in that piece, and I'm sure he's got a great relationship with Barry, and Barry's so good talking to people about difficult subjects. But he was just so honest about it.
I mean, Mike Rizzo said he's the greatest player to ever wear the uniform, the Washington Nationals uniform, and he is.
Yeah.
Statistically,
yeah.
He is.
It'd be hard to argue.
He's
that.
Had rough half seasons the last couple of years.
Yeah.
Second half last year, first half this year.
And by the way, for a guy who was a third baseman to play in the outfield and then first base, he
first
was willing to do whatever they asked him to.
Yeah.
By the way, this from Phil. Phil Sapaglia, we forgot Flow, Progressive Flow.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, she's a Harper College.
Yes.
Binghamton University.
Exactly.
But that's a made-up character.
Well, yes. So
she's not Florence.
Yes.
She's
but
Flo.
She's still pretty.
Just although Diana Ross, in one big song, says in Flow, she don't know that the boy she loves is a Romeo.
Tony,
again, Florence Ballard.
Has a sub-500 pitcher ever won the Cy Young?
I think Felix Hernandez was one over.
Yeah, it was a very...
I thought it was 13
well,
and 12.
Is not sub-500.
No,
right.
So I don't think
no,
so.
No, nobody has, but that was the one that was sort of... That was when the metrics people and the analytics people won the argument over...
Yeah, they won
wins.
The battle.
That's when they sort of said wins aren't as important as you think they are.
Yeah, but I think they are very important, but Keith says I'm an idiot, so,
To the Orioles, Mr. Tony...
They're
they can't
terrible.
Seem to win, no.
They're terrible.
Five in a row lost to the A's. By the
way,
the A's.
1-9 in their last 10.
Yes.
They're 41-103. They're 57 and a half back of the Sox. 57
who
and
clinched, what? Who clinched a playoff spot?
What's going to happen to Buck Showalter? Does he have any more years? Are they going to get rid of him?
Don't know.
I think he does have more years.
He's a good manager.
I think he is, but I think his MO is he's a good manager
for a while.
For a while, and then
how about the Nats could use a good manager for a while?
They could get somebody to turn. He will turn a team around.
Yeah.
But then at some point, the message just stops being heard by the players. So I would imagine he'd be gone. How can you keep him after this?
I don't know.
He's a great manager, but this is a miserable season.
Karma is a rhymes with. Which,
yes.
And the years of hatred and antagonism toward a baseball team in Washington have finally caught up. I think that's what this is, karma
they
and
were,
nothing else.
They were a wonderful team with a beautiful ballpark who treated their customers well. They are 57 and a half games back.
That's tough.
They stink beyond comprehension.
Yeah.
Yes.
Beyond comprehension. You look at the lineup, they shouldn't be this terrible.
No.
And they are terrible.
And by the way, keep your eyes on the A's, who are now just two games out.
Well, they're a playoff team.
Yes. Back of the Yankees and two, I think three back of the Astros for the division lead.
The Astros are 9-1 in their last 10.
The Astros are playing brilliantly.
Can we stay on baseball for just a second? Sure. I'm always happy to see Gary, but I'm very glad David Aldridge is not here today. Because, you know, David for years now has managed the sharing of season tickets for families, and it's a nightmare, and God bless him for doing it. And I don't know how to break it to him that we're not re-upping.
You're not?
Re-upping.
Well, I guess you just broke it to him, didn't you? Quite publicly.
It's a lot of games. We're all in on the caps. The kids are gone out of the house, and we just don't use them as much.
The Valor.
So, yeah, the Valor.
Wait a second. Last
year
you said you're dropping the cap season tickets. They go ahead and win a banner?
No,
you're back
we didn't.
On board?
No, we never said that.
Oh, I thought you did.
We never said that, no.
I think she said she wasn't
sitting with them.
Wait,
so you're going to keep the Caps tickets?
Yes.
Even though your children at Caps games are ridiculously profane and vulgar?
Yeah, and they might take our tickets away from us because of that.
Right, but you're going to dump the Nats tickets where they're sort of more benign.
We didn't use them often enough. And in this town, everybody has season tickets, so you can't even give them to your friends.
Right.
It's hard to share those tickets, so... If David's listening, I was too chicken to tell you, David.
Well, I don't know. It's possible that Michael Kornheiser might get in on that. It's possible.
Good seats.
Confirming what you said, Buck Showalter's contract is, in fact, done the end of the year. So he will 100%.
Oh, yeah. There's no chance.
Do we have anything else? Because we've gone a long way.
Did you want to talk about soccer? Did you want to talk about Adam Clymer?
The United States, no. Adam Clymer, a very respected political reporter for the New York Times, passed away last night at the age of 81. The United States beat Mexico. Why do they play these things?
USMNC.
Friendlies?
Well, why do they play them?
International friendlies.
Practice. Tell me why they play them.
Because there's no season.
To make money. You know, it's an exhibition game. Get some people in the stands.
Keep sharp.
Right.
I mean, do they...
Work on the set
Do they mean anything in the long term? Do they mean anything?
No, it's not like the only thing it means is a chance. Incredibly meaningful
World
like
Cup.
What we do
World
every
Cup
day.
Means anything.
Yeah, it's a chance for the coaches to evaluate the players. They're like, these guys are moving up and these guys are bad. And
they don't have a coach. So when you say it's a chance for the coaches to evaluate players, they don't actually have a coach.
I mean, not for your team. I mean, your team's not real. I mean, come on. Let's be honest.
Okay.
I do have one more story, and this sent us to it by Chuck Todd. Leaving it on.
Okay. Chuck Todd, who had a great week.
Yes.
Chuck Todd opened at 5-2 on the toughest week of all. He opened big.
As he texted me, he said, it's all downhill from here.
Probably.
But he'll be on with us tomorrow to improve upon that record. And this comes out to us from Clearwater, Florida.
Oh,
where,
what a shock. That it would be in Florida.
Where a 35-year-old man by the name of Richard Peel was either playing frisbee golf on a golf course or, as some people suspected, was walking around collecting loose frisbees that had been left around. I didn't realize there were lots of frisbees around
golf
course.
It's an epidemic.
And then, you know, getting a finder's fee for them. But whatever the case was...
Send them to me, because Jesse goes through them
really?
3 days.
Someone loses their frisbee and then they're willing to pay a ransom for it?
Well, you know, a finder's fee, I guess. I wouldn't say ransom. That's a bit nefarious there. But Richard spied a frisbee in the water, in a pond, by the fourth hole.
In Florida.
Bad idea.
Don't go there.
No, it's alligator country.
Bad decision, as the copy reads. We heard the guy scream, so three of the guys come running over, and basically they're pulling on him as the alligator was pulling him back in the water. And they said the guy, Richard Peel, actually stabbed the alligator in the eye with a knife. So you could
see...
Where
did he get a knife?
I think he was...
It's Florida, baby.
Yeah, it's Florida. He's carrying a big machete. So you could see the alligator's eye kind of hanging out. And then basically somebody said, if people hadn't been playing on the fourth hole, that guy would have been gone.
What's the extent of his injuries?
Yeah, what happened to him?
He's treated and released. He's fine.
Wow.
Yeah, he's fine. He was non-life-threatening injuries.
How's the alligator?
The alligator has been captured. And by the way, the alligator's name, not killed yet. The alligator had a name called Fat Daddy. That was the name of the alligator.
Now it's one-eyed.
And then there was another alligator that was another pond that hadn't bothered anybody, but they took him just because they said, he's not actually afraid of people, so we got to take him now as well.
So they're going to kill them both.
Well,
they're going to kill them both.
What I've been told is they're going to take them to a farm where they can chase the rabbits all day long.
You go into the thing's house, it defends itself, and then you got to go kill it.
By the way, isn't this Happy Gilmore? Wasn't there an alligator with one eye in Happy Gilmore? Yes, that's what it was.
He took your hand, I took his head.
All right, we'll get out of here. We'll come back with Old Guy Radio. Jeff Ma will join us. Jeff Ma had a great week.
Yes, he did.
Jeff Ma picking games nobody's picking. Jeff Ma went 3-1.
The Bucks.
Yeah, went 3-1. Won outright, didn't he, on three?
He did. Three.
Cleveland.
Three dogs went 2-0-1.
Yeah,
straight
Cleveland,
up.
Yeah.
Won them all against the spread.
All right, well, that's when we return. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is my favorite read because it's quick and it's to the point. All right? Did you know that every single episode of the Tony Kornheiser Show is now on Spotify? Yeah, the same app that has millions of songs now also has thousands of podcasts. On Spotify, you can listen to all your favorite shows, like this one, and discover new ones, just not too many because we get jealous very easily. To subscribe to our show, search for The Tony Kornheiser Show, tap follow, F-O-L-L-O-W, and get every new episode delivered to you. Podcasts on Spotify. They're streaming right now, and now, and now.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
These are the Monkees. This is Last Train to Clarksville in terms of critical commentary. I've heard this song is about somebody leaving the country to go to Canada to avoid the draft.
Yeah.
I've only heard that recently when this song was released 50-what years ago.
Yeah, the song.
The Monkees TV show debuted today.
Yes, in 1966.
So that's 52 years ago.
And this song actually came out August 16th of 1966, just before the TV show out. And in fact,
I sort of like this song.
Yeah, it was.
I sort of like the Monkees.
This was written by Tommy Boyce and Bobby Hart.
Right.
It does make references to leaving the country to avoid Vietnam.
Yes.
Clarksville may be a reference to Clarksville, Tennessee, where there's a Fort Campbell down there.
Oh, is that right?
Yes. Yeah, so
I always thought it was Clarksville, Maryland, but what do I know? There's probably a lot of Clarksvilles in America.
Yes.
That I'm unaware of.
But let's see. Bob, I'm trying to think who is the actual writer of this.
You said Tommy Boyce and Bobby Hart.
Yeah, but one of them when he was writing it.
Though.
Yeah, I think it was Hart. Oh, it was Bobby Hart. He wrote it imitating McCartney singing Paperback Writer.
Yeah.
Because he thought as McCartney was trailing out, he was saying take the last train. And I don't quite know how he heard that, but because it's
his. Well, he invented that.
Yes. So,
but
anyways,
it's okay. It produced a good song.
It did. All right. It did.
Jeff Ma, who had a spectacular week last week, going 3-1, picking games that nobody was going to pick, got hurt very early in the Kansas City game, the one game he lost. Like, first play of the... Am I right on this? First play of the game was a kick return or something like that, Jeff, that hurt you in that game?
Yeah, it was not pretty. I mean, I think that, you know, when you think a lot about evaluating how you did in these games, you sort of go back and look at the assumptions that you made or, you know, like, again, the podcast that we do is called Bet the Process. You evaluate the process by which you made your picks. And in that one, even though, yeah, there was a play early on that sort of spelled doom for us, one of the assessments we made was that Pat Mahomes was not going to be that good.
He
was very good.
Yeah.
So, you know, you have to look at what you did and reevaluate and say, hey, was this a fluke or is Pat Mahomes going to be this good? It looks like he's going to be pretty good, but I still have to reserve judgment on a first-year starter in terms of going overboard in terms of what we think he's going to be this year.
Yeah, he can spin it. I mean, you just watch him throw it. He looks like a natural. Who knows? I mean, who knows? But and I think you would agree with me, Jeff, when you saw that game, you said, okay, I get it why Andy Reid said to Alex Smith, you can go, right? You can see it.
Yeah, no, I think that there's certainly a lot of talent there. There's a lot of, you know, his arm, they say, right now is probably the best or one of the best in the league already is what they're saying, and there's drawing comparisons to Brett Favre, et cetera. So, yeah, for sure, he can spin it. But the question is when he comes up against a strong – like, was that a testament to San Diego's defense – or, sorry, the Chargers' defense being bad this year, or was that a testament to him really being that strong and – he only completed 15 passes, right?
We're going to know all these things by week 5 because nobody knows anything yet, and that's the way it works. What have you got for us this week?
We're going to, since it's early in the week, and typically at this point, you know, it's harder to sort of pare down all the selections. The lines haven't stabilized. It's harder to, early in the week, you can't get down quite as much money. So I'm going to give 5 picks this week just because it's a little bit early.
Okay.
The first one is going to be Cincinnati, which is a pick'em over Baltimore. I had Cincinnati last week. They started slow but overcame some, you know, turnovers and a guy getting thrown out of the game, et cetera, to beat Indy. Baltimore obviously had a great, great game last week, but that was over a Buffalo team who, you know, I think people believe will be one of the worst teams in the league, if not the worst team. And Nathan Peterman, you know, my partner Rufus Peabody does a lot of comps on these players, and he thinks that Peterman is the 73rd worst quarter, 73rd best quarterback in the NFL. 73rd.
Presently?
So how many
are there 73? Presently,
he would have him rated as the 73rd best quarterback.
Mr. Sean Kizer, Tony wants to know.
Yeah. So you're going to take Cincinnati?
Yeah, Cincy, pick him over Baltimore.
Okay.
And then I'm actually going to go and stick with my guns on KC being a bit overrated, especially after last week. Pitt being a bit underrated, actually. Even though we got that Cleveland win, we probably shouldn't have. I mean, Cleveland was outgained 5.9 yards per play to 3.8 yards per play. They had a 5+5 turnover differential and still had, you know, had a tie. And to get five turnovers more
and not win,
you know, to receive five turnovers and not win is pretty incredible. So Pitt only being a 5-point favorite over KC at home, I think that's a you know, value on the Steelers there, where sort of people are very much overreacting to week one.
I certainly did. I thought Pittsburgh looked terrible, and I thought Roethlisberger, particularly in the fourth quarter, looked inept. And I was wondering if Pittsburgh was going to take a big fall. So you're going the other way from me on that. So that's interesting.
Yeah, it's just interesting, right? Because they only, I mean, obviously the conditions were really poor, but their defense only gave up 3.8 yards per play. And offensively, they gained 5.9 yards per play against a pretty good Cleveland defense. I think we'll, by the end of the year, we'll definitely say that Cleveland's defense was pretty strong.
Okay, what else?
I'm going to go back to Tampa, +3
really?
Over Philly. I am. And, you know, I mean, obviously Tampa had this sort of incredible game, and maybe they're going to come back to reality, but I'm going to still stick with the fact that, you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick is, you know, more than serviceable. I don't know if I mentioned last week, but he went to Harvard.
Yes, we know. Do you know that I saw him play in college?
Did you really?
I saw him play against Penn. Penn Harvard game at
coldest
Penn.
Game.
And I said, in watching him,
there's
I kept
pro.
Saying, that, well, I didn't say there's a pro, but I said, that guy's good. So yeah. I have followed him with interest, and I know that you probably hate him because you're MIT. So anyway, but he played great.
Why were you at that game? Where did you lose a bet or something?
No, my son went to Penn, and I would drive up and go see games every once in a while.
His son and his money went to Penn.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. So
got it. And I Philly's offense in week one was absolutely terrible. You know, with Nick Foles, you know, still at the helm. You know, they got pretty lucky to get out of Atlanta with a win. I just think that on the road against Tampa, this is a good spot for Tampa. I mean, to prove that last week wasn't a fluke and to put up some points and getting 3 points at home, I like that.
I will just tell you this about Ryan Fitzpatrick, and I've followed his career. He once had 6 touchdown passes in a game, but he also had none with 6 picks. Now, the Philadelphia defense really is good, Jeff. That's what scares me, that he'll be a pick machine this week.
That's possible, right? And obviously, you know, turnovers are the biggest determinant of whether teams win or lose. So
except with Cleveland.
If you can actually predict turnovers like we can when Deshaun Kizer plays,
right.
then
terrible.
We know what's going to happen, right?
Right.
So,
that's right.
You know, I would say that's an astute observation, Tony, and if that proves out to be correct, then I will be wrong next week and you will be
okay.
right.
That's
not
okay.
necessarily a convo for this segment, but you have to wonder if the Bucs start 2-0 with Ryan Fitzpatrick
will
against the
Winston.
Saints and Bucs.
That's right. That's right.
I mean, against the Saints and the Eagles.
Yeah, will Jameis Winston see the light of day?
Yeah, or what does it mean for him?
What else you got?
We're going to go with the Seahawks again. They pushed, or I didn't actually have them last week.
Not with me.
They pushed last week with Denver. But I like them +3 at Chicago. I mean, I think everyone...
That's a Monday night game.
Everyone's excited about Chicago based on what they did. And obviously they probably should have won that game against Green Bay. But their offense was not very good last week from a yards per play standpoint. And, if this line were to have come out before week one, this game would have probably been a pick 'em. It certainly wouldn't have been Seattle +3. So I just think there's a lot of value here. Again, people reacting to week one. And then finally, the last game is going to be Minnesota +1 over Green Bay. I actually think this line is right, but in my mind, this is the bet that Rodgers is less than 100%.
Right.
If he is less than 100% against this Minnesota pass rush, it's going to be really challenging for Green Bay to compete with Minnesota. So, you know, this is a game that if Minnesota really is an elite team in the NFC, that they should be able to win, you know, early on against a hurt Brett Favre, et cetera. So, again, the line, I think, is about right from a number standpoint. But if Favre, who is
not Favre, Rodgers,
probably the most
Rodgers,
Rodgers, who is probably the most important player in all of football in terms of the point spread. Like he being out last year could move the line 10 points, and now with Deshaun Kizer backing him up, I would say that might even be more. Right, like we saw what happened in that game in the short time. He, you know, Rodgers had to overcome the Bears and Deshaun Kizer in that game. Like Deshaun Kizer gave them 10 points almost.
So if it is announced on either Thursday, Friday, or Saturday, of course, that Aaron Rodgers will not play, we will take this game off for you. You know, because the line would change dramatically, right?
Yeah. But I mean, that's why I think right now it's something that you would jump on Minnesota early.
I think Minnesota's the better team.
Yeah, because he's saying if Rodgers is out,
what I'm suggesting, and it's interesting that Jeff says that this is a good number. I think Minnesota's a better team than Green Bay, so I'm sort of surprised it's +1. I mean, I know it's at Green Bay.
But this is his point, that the Rodgers injury is sort of priced into it.
That's right.
And if Rodgers doesn't play, it's Minnesota's going to go off as a favorite. Now he's got him at +1. Okay. So
Oh, you can do that? You can
if he's placing the bet now, this is the line he gets.
Oh, I didn't know.
Yeah.
Is that right, Jeff? It's not. They don't toss it?
It would be off the board if they didn't want you to bet on it.
I mean, the only time they toss things is in baseball, when you have pitchers you can bet baseball two ways. One, you can say action, or the second can be listed. And if you list the pitchers, if one of the pitchers doesn't go off, then your bet is no action. But in football, there's no way to sort of put a contingency on your bet based on an injury. So betting this right now with, you know, the knowledge that Rodgers may not be 100%, or even in the case that Rodgers doesn't play, obviously then you'd have a tremendous value in your pocket on Minnesota.
Oh, sure. Okay. Thank you, Jeff. We'll talk to you next week.
Hey, Tony, one last point. Back to your point on Minnesota and Green Bay. This line with Minnesota +1 is saying that they believe that Minnesota is better, right?
Because
typical home field
is 3.
Would be Minnesota +2.5 or 3 points, yeah. Okay.
And Jeff's podcast is called Bet the Process. Right, Jeff?
Bet the Process.
Available with Jeff and Rufus. Thank you, Jeff. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay, thanks, Tony.
That's interesting. That's an odd... I mean, I think Minnesota's a better team. Can I just bring one thing up in the time that we have remaining in this segment? There's
your
a story
show.
By Liz Clark that on a local level for us has enormous impact. The Washington Redskins, which were the preeminent sports team in this city for a billion years, which sold out all the time, which claimed to have a waiting list of 20,000 people, have not sold out for the home opener on Sunday against, not a big draw, the Indianapolis Colts. But they are not sold out at the moment that I'm saying this. About 3,500 tickets remain unsold. And this is at a ballpark where the Redskins have consistently cut the amount of available seats
down to 80,000.
Yeah,
I think it's high 70s.
The party deck.
By putting in party decks and pool decks and Lido decks and and everything that they possibly could in recognition of the way the people have stopped caring about the Redskins like they used to. They've had sellouts for, you know, a million games in a row.
I mean, there was a...
Wow.
There was
a
20-year period, your first 20 years here, I would say, 25 years, where you genuinely couldn't get tickets.
Right. Yeah.
Could not get them. Now, for the last 10 years... The sellouts have been a fraud, and the waiting list has been a fraud largely.
That's right.
But the team has sucked. The stadium,
correct.
The stadium stinks. And then buried in that story, even for us 1%ers around this table, average amount spent for two people, tickets, parking, a hot dog, one beer and one soda, $567.
$567.50.
That's a lot.
For two people going to one game.
And by the way,
$567 and 50 cents. And they have had sellouts that date back 50 years. I got here in 1979. That's almost 40 years. And I can tell you that coming from New York, where there were just so many teams that so many people cared about, in this particular city, they cared about one team. There was no baseball team at that time. The hockey team was
brand new,
largely irrelevant. The basketball team was a good team at that point, had won a championship the year before, but didn't, and it's a basketball town, didn't grab anybody in the way that the Redskins did. Mm. Redskins tickets were gold, and the thought that, and this happens, but it's You've grown
well, I mean,
here.
It's happened out of over time. I mean, I don't know about Tori. I know you've been a season ticket holder. Season ticket holder in the past. And it got to the point where, I mean, the writing was on the wall for this some years ago when you couldn't give tickets away. I don't know if you still had them at that time. But towards the end of the season, you literally could not get rid of them.
A lot of it and, is the location of the field. And if they were to move back to where RFK is.
That would help.
That's a big piece, but it's the in-game experience. If you want to go watch a fight, get a ticket to the any level. It doesn't just happen in the parking lot.
There are hooligans in the seats. It's an uncomfortable place to go.
When my kids were young, when we, you know, 6-8 years ago, whatever, it was like you really didn't feel good taking a kid there.
No. Yeah, well, you know,
so when the stadium first
opened,
you would take me to games when you still had season tickets. And after every game, you would file a story. We'd go out to the parking lot. The parking lot's empty. And what did I have to do before we got into the car? I would get on my hands and knees and check for broken bottles.
Because
that's the tailgating experience at every stadium. But that entered the stadium in the last decade.
Now, the interesting thing about this is that you could be on the cusp of the team finally starting to turn things around.
Possible.
And that would fix
everything,
probably.
Horrible experience getting to that stadium.
Metro
and then
accessible
once you're there,
if you want to walk a mile.
Yeah, it's nowhere like most of the stadiums in the country now. Brian and I were laughing about this the other day. You know, Gary called us on Friday and said, let's fly to Chicago this weekend and see a football game. We would be more likely to do that than if you called us on Friday and say, let's go see the Redskins play on Sunday.
Totally agree.
All right. Well, you know, there's talk of a new stadium location. And it's on the corner of Wisconsin and Jennifer.
Perfect.
Just inside the D.C. line.
Exactly.
That'd be great.
Nobody goes there anymore.
It's an empty lot.
We'll have email and a jingle when we return. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
The Tony Kornheiser Show.
It's time for Tony's Back.
Here comes Tony's Mailbag. Send him your emails and notes.
Don't send him faxes. It's time for Tony's Back.
Here comes Tony's Mailbag. He'll read some for all of you folks.
Wow. Is that all Fuse?
Jason Fuse.
That's
cool.
Fantastic.
So brilliant.
Let me thank Steve Sands of the Golf Channel. Let me thank our predictive expert, Jeff Ma, and our intrepid weatherman, Kip Schmiemann, for coming on with us today. I'd also like to thank the sponsors, Spotify, Lowe's, and ZipRecruiter. Remember to listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of The Tony Kornheiser Show wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play. If you listen on iTunes, please leave us a review. Do we ever get reviews? Are the reviews any good?
Yes, we got 3 Michelin stars.
That's
fantastic.
That's
there is a review of PTI online that you do not want
to
read.
Okay, then I'll
send that to me.
It's a dead spin situation.
I will
send
not.
That to me.
Edward Butt sends us, for my brother-in-law's funeral, I was to read that passage from Ecclesiastes, and my sister cautioned me, Ed, there is no turn in between each line. From Andrew Bowman in Alexandria, Virginia. On Monday's show, Lace Saliza talked about wanting to go to a wedding that didn't work out. Well, when I was in high school, I worked at a restaurant that did multiple weddings per weekend. The law of big numbers being what it is, we had several that fell through. Most were canceled before anyone actually showed up, but at least one or two a year would have a bride or groom no-show without notice. These were always awkward, but not nearly as chaotic as the night the groom got busted in the coat closet with a bridesmaid not 2 hours after saying I do. Oh. So much screaming, so many tears. Anyway, like Lace, I rooted for things to go south because I got paid whether these ceremonies went off or not. So it meant I could watch some college football and not have to hear Love Shack for the 10,000th time. True love could wait. Glad to have you back on the daily schedule, Grandpa. Andrew Bowman from Alexandria, Virginia. I like that
one. Thank you, Andrew.
From Earl Brewer, who is the owner and director of Virginia Elite Lacrosse. During my son's back to school last week. Imagine my delight when his AP history teacher, yes, my son is smart, not dumb, told the parents he was a graduate of Binghamton. After his presentation, we chatted for a moment, and I asked him what was the former name of old BU. He smiled and answered Harper College, and yes, I know, the most famous alum, Flo, from Progressive Insurance commercials. Just kidding, he said. The old bald orange man is our most famous alum. As my wife and I walked to the door, he gave me the TK salute and said, hey, if you're out on your bike tonight.
Classic. That a boy.
From work, James Herman. It's just after 12:30 p.m. on a rather bleak day in New York City. Just a short while ago, I emerged from the bowels of an even more bleak Penn Station after picking up my foot-long Subway sandwich. I got back to my desk in my windowless office to dive into my sandwich, and little Hofwaff banner began to brighten my day. Just as I'm finishing lunch, the news covers Subway getting rid of their $5 sandwiches. Michael begins a monologue that the sandwich, which I'm currently consuming, is just sandwich. Sad. I just can't help but be pulled back into the reality of my sad sandwich on this bleak day as I grind away towards the tax extension deadline and know I have nothing to brighten my day. That's terrible, James. From Charlie Burtz in Springfield, Virginia. Does this mean that Aldridge is now going to have to be insulted by Greg Popovich in writing?
Yes.
From Ted in Richmond, as an expert, can you help a brother out and answer this OCD question? In my doctor's lobby, there's a frame notice announcing a weekly OCD support group. Every week I tip the frame about 10 degrees, and when I return, the announcement is perfectly square. My wife says this is cruel and I should stop. Is she right? No, don't stop. No, it's cruel, but deserve it. Come on now. From Randall Charles Wilkerson. While we're on the topic of slight OCD, can I get your opinion on grocery store baggers? It feels like the practice of properly bagging groceries has gone to hell.
Yes.
Maybe it's an Arkansas thing, but I've always been taught that certain groceries get bagged together. Veggies with veggies, frozen with frozen, chips maybe with bread or eggs. I even separate them on the belt while passing them to the cashier, only to find that some Gen Zer, I am an older millennial, has placed my gallon of milk in the same bag with my eggs. This drives me insane. Please let me know I'm not the only one. No, I understand that.
Yes,
but he got an MFA in acting at the University of Virginia in 2011 and a bachelor's degree in theater at Arkansas Pine Bluff in 2008.
Oh, well done.
Michael, he's your age.
Yeah.
He's your age. That's very, very good. Mike from Burke, Virginia. I can't wait to focus on this.
Just to be
I'm glad that when massive sweet. Devastation and pain and risk to life at best is being predicted for the hurricane, you have focused on what's important. What's going to happen to Pinehurst? What of the grill? What of the clubhouse? Every time you call a certain pitcher an orchid, the gods of irony collapse in hysterical laughter. This comes from Bel Air. It says, Bel Air Country Club, here I come. Last week, Michael described Bel Air Country Club as a must play. But before I book my flight to Los Angeles, I have a few questions. One, will I need a teats arm or can I walk on as a single?
Just walk on.
Two, are range balls included with the greens fees? And three, how strict is the dress code? Are we talking like collared shirts required or just no denim and tank tops? And four, do they sell cigarettes in the pro shop? Thank you for the information. And maybe you could also tell us if there are any other courses like, say, Augusta and Pine Valley that have achieved Michael Kornheiser must play
I'm pretty sure you don't need $8.50 for a small bucket.
Absolutely brilliant. If you're out on your bike tonight, everyone, as always, do wear white.
This book is devastating.
Oh, I wish we had more people here.
Yay!
Look at you guys.
Get up if you're gonna play the game that you're supposed to. It's enough, but you still can get your feet underneath you. These thoughts inside my head, these words I left unsaid. Get up, 'cause you're gonna play the game like you're supposed to. But I can't let it go, and I just need to know. So tell me where your heart is, 'cause I'm done wasting my time. I'm just being honest. I'm not asking you to make me any kind of promise. I'm just asking where your heart is. I know you show your cards, you leave your heart open, and I hope you come around instead of you folding. I'm trying something new, so give me something true. Well, I know you show your cards, you leave your heart open, and now it's open.
my time. I'm just being honest. I'm just asking. Just asking where your heart is. 'Cause I'm done wasting my time. I'm just being honest. You're gonna play the game like you're supposed to.
Show me your face. Something is strange. Tell me I need to know. I need to know.
I've been away. Let this feeling go, but I'm coming home. Can you hear me when I
can
say,
you hear me when I
say, I'm here and I'm
I am here and I am
I'm
stay.
Here and I am
stay.
Oh, if you wanna be in it, show me you're gonna be in it. Oh, if you wanna be, do you wanna be?
Everything's changed. Can we stay the same? How can you be so sure anymore?
This is the truth. Whatever you choose, darling, my heart is yours. My heart is still yours. Can you hear me when I
can
say,
you hear me when I'm
saying,
here
and
I am
say,
here and I. Be, oh, if you wanna be in it, show.